Welcome back to Hit It Here Talk. Today we're going to be joined by Mariners seamstress Stitch God. Some of you may know Stitch God from the Mariners team store at games, while others may know him from social media. With that being said, here's the man himself, Stitch God. Introduce yourself. What do you consider yourself in the Seattle sports space?
Well, first of all, I go by Stitch God. I guess I would consider myself an all-around Jersey guy. I tell people that you won't go to a professional sporting event in Seattle and not see me. And that's not because I'm a fan spectating. It's because I'm doing a jersey at every game that is around, except for the Storm. So,
Storm, I'd like to call think, Stitch God.
Yeah, well, not yet, but you know, it's funny because they're in the same space as the Crack, and there is discussions of if they're going to have a team store option that's similar to the Kraken team store in the arena once they get playing there again.
That's really, really interesting. They really got to give you a call because you're around everything.
So I don't know. I don't know how big that would be because I don't know how much of a crowd that goes to a WNBA game is willing to go pay for their own name on the back of a jersey, like in comparison to everything else. Because we have at a Kraken game, we haven't done under 100 at any game this year.
That's actually really shocking.
That's a lot, dude. Because considering at a Mariners game, I could probably do 30 at max. So it's a lot. It's a lot of names. It's a lot of numbers. A lot of confusion. But
a lot of hard work, especially with hockey. Right. It's like a bunch of European names and all that.
That's right, dude.
What got you into jerseys in the first place to begin with?
So I've always kind of been into jerseys. I was a hat guy first. Big hat guy. But I'm from Buffalo, New York. And what actually happened was is I stumbled into being into jerseys, if you will. I moved out here and I ended up taking a part-time job with the Mariners like team store. I was working the hat wall and I got to talking with the guy who does the in-game jerseys there. His name is Jerry Thornton. And he had been doing that for the Mariners since 1993. And I just got to casually chatting with him. I wasn't making enough money the first time I moved out here. And I told him, I was like, hey man, like, big at knowing you or whatever, but I got to go back to Buffalo. I'm not making enough money. And he told me that if I wanted to learn how to do what he does and be a part of what he does for the Mariners, because the goal was always to work for the Mariners for me since I was a little kid. And he told me if I wanted to come back, he would teach me. And I actually learned how to sew on a machine in Safeco. And I learned how to do the whole process basically on the fly in the 2018 season. So I learned how to do Mariners stuff. So my in-game jobs are like fixing pants and stuff like that if guys get traded or things like that. But the off season of 2018 going into 19, I was just in the shop, STT Sports Lettering. I was in there 8 hours a day, 40 plus hours a week, just learning how to sew and like be quick and fast. And that's really how it happened. I stumbled into it, but it got me into with the Mariners, which was always the goal.
That's unreal. All the way from Buffalo, being a fan, and then coming all the way to Seattle.
Yeah, man. And I had a lot of choices being from Buffalo of teams that were closer. My dad's a Red Sox fan. My dad's a Red Sox fan. And my grandfather was a Yankee fan. And I was always being torn between the two of them. And I got a Sports Illustrated for Kids in the 2000, the pre-2001 season issue. And there was a whole article about Ichiro. And I was, 10 years old at the time? And I read that and I was like, this guy sounds cool. And then they won 116 games that year. And I was like, oh, man. This is it. Cool. I've got a team. And they obviously have not been good since then, but I stayed with it. And as I got older, I was more and more and more interested in Seattle as a whole. And then when I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to go see what I could do. And I came out and did it. Here I am.
That's amazing. Is there a tiny bit in you that kind of wants or would consider a job back in Buffalo with the Bills later at the end of your career? Or is it
So,
all Mariners?
you know what's so funny about you saying that has actually been a very big that's actually been a conversation I've had with my fiance several times because she's also from Buffalo. And what we do, what I do, we haven't gotten to how, what I do at the Kraken yet, but what I do, customizing jerseys is a thing that everybody does, but not everybody has the option during a game to do it. And I'm not sure why that is, but I know that the Bills do not do that, what I do with the Seahawks, and the Sabres do not do what I do with the Kraken at games. So it has been tossed around a few times of, well, maybe I get my resume up and then one day I come home and take everything that I've learned out here with STT and with everything I've learned jersey wise and take it to Buffalo and create a new thing that people don't have there. But the problem with that is I'm a huge Bills guy, very minor Sabres guy, but Mariners just trump everything. So I have the dream job now. So everything
Yeah,
else after
you
that would
can't
just
leave
be,
it.
yeah, it wouldn't get better for me personally. But it's
Yeah.
been discussed. It's a possibility for sure.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like something that'd be kind of towards the end of it all, just kind of for fun. Once you're kind of done with the, well, I don't really know. How could you, at what point would you consider yourself done? I don't
So
think
here's
you can really drop this job, can you?
you can no, it's not one of those things where you can just go, okay, unless I did exactly what Jerry did with me one day, if I have the opportunity to do that. Now, keep in mind, I still work for somebody. My job is for the Mariners, but I work for STT Sports Lettering. So that's a broad spectrum of things I also do at the shop with them. So it's basically like all the way down to minor league or like little league baseball. We do college football. We do everything. We've done things for March Madness. We've done things for MLB Network. It's a pretty broad thing, but once it hits baseball season, I'm the guy at this at Safeco now.
It's really just a dream. You really can't let go of it.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's yeah, I don't know how. There's nothing that would top it, really. It's not because every day. So again, since I was a little kid, now I'm 31 years old now. So when I was 11 years old, 12 years old, I'm in Buffalo. These games don't start until 10 p.m., and I'm just a big, huge, like diehard Mariners fans. So to always want to work for the Mariners and get in with them, it couldn't. I'm at the ceiling already of what I could do for me personally.
So what you're saying is you don't still have a dream. What would be, if you had to choose, what would be a dream that you still have to this day?
Well, that's a good question. I would say that to be more involved in the organization somehow. I've toyed with the idea. I mean, I'm very tight with the clubhouse guys with the Mariners. So that's something that would always be in the back of my head of something that'd be really cool to do. But I don't know, the dreams that I have left are like not in the sports world, if that makes sense. So if I were to leave the sports world, my dreams are outside of that. So,
Yeah, you definitely created a persona for yourself in Seattle, and everybody knows who Stitch God is. It's pretty much become
thank
the
you.
reality.
I
Yeah.
appreciate that too. That was the idea, is that I kind of just wanted to have like a well, the mystery behind it obviously is a very fun part because I'm especially on my Instagram, the idea was that my work, the things that I'm posting pictures of that I'm doing is more important than who I am. And if you have the opportunity and you want to know, well, who is this guy? I always tell people, and come find me. I'll be at a Seahawk game at this time, Mariners game at this time, Sounders game at this time, Kraken game at this time. You want to know who I am? Come see me. Come shoot the shit. Let's have a conversation. Let's chat, whatever. And that was really the plan, to kind of just have like a Seattle sports conversation with as many people as I possibly could. That was how that started. But I kind of wanted to also showcase that I do a lot. I have the opportunity to do a lot of cool things. So that was really what the idea was.
I love that. And yeah, it really is just like an exclusive group of people. What I really like, you don't really have, I don't know how to word this, but if you ask somebody who's like, I don't know, 50 or 60 years old, who you were, I don't really think they know you. But the good thing is, you know, a lot of like the newer, younger fans, and those fans will grow up and tell their friends, and then they'll tell other people and other people, including the players. So I think that's what's the most special about who you are and the persona of Stitch God.
So I'm glad that you said that, because when I was learning at Safeco, I was watching Jerry, again, who's been doing this forever. He started SCT Sports Lettering in 1983. His first team that he got that was professional was the Thunderbirds. So he's been doing it for a really long time. So he's developed these kind of relationships with people just like you just described. And I would watch the whole first season that I was there, I would watch all of these people go out of their way every game to come say hello to him. How are things? And even now that he's not, so I'm in my head, I'm phase one of Jerry's retirement plan, because during the season, this guy would be working 100 hours a week doing the Mariners games and being at the shop. So what I wanted to do was have people want to go out of their way to come say hello to me. And now that he's not there during Mariners games, I still have people come up to me all the time and ask, "Oh, hey, where's Jerry? How's he doing?" So that's kind of what that's exactly what you said. I like to think I'm on my way of developing, I don't want to say a culture behind it, but just like a, I've always been a really personable guy. I don't know if you could tell, but I could literally talk forever if I really had to. You know what I mean? So I love just, I mean, and another cool thing, even being on with you right now, I never got a chance to talk about the Mariners with people. That's another really fun thing for me. My whole life, I got two very close friends who were Mariners fans before me that are from Buffalo. So that was cool. But I now just to get the chance to talk to people, and this person knows who Matt Brash is, and this person knows that Griffey was a better player than Jeter, and it's just cool to have conversations with people that know the team and know baseball. And that's the best part for me, to be honest. I mean, that Seahawks are cool to work with them, and the Sounders are cool, and Kraken has been a pleasure. But again, it all circles back around. There's nothing that compares to, I mean, dude, I walk up to Safeco 81 times a year during baseball season, and every time I feel like butterflies still. Every time I see it, I walk in. It's incredible.
It really is. And like you said, creating culture, I
Yeah.
think you've done a great job at that. When the players know you, when the fans know you, when everybody in between kind of knows you, I guarantee you some opposing fans even know of you. That's a
Well,
special thing.
I would hope so. And I mean, I've gone at it with Blue Jays fans, and all that, because you know how it gets when the Blue Jays come to town.
Yeah, the
And I,
Athletic
yeah,
fans last year.
for sure, it was great. And it's fun because all it does is just create excitement. And that's another thing too, especially with the guys that I plant my flag in. I don't know if you ever are going to get to that, but the guys that I talk about are not the superstar guys. The guys that I'm excited about are the down to earth guys that are just great baseball guys that want to play and have a good time. And I love just being able to shoot to talk to people about these kind of things when it comes down to, I just want to do my part in making baseball bigger than it is and making sports bigger than it is in Seattle. And it's big already, but I want to help make it bigger.
I love that. And yeah, let's actually move into that. Who's the favorite player you've had the chance to meet?
Oh, well, so let me stop you here real quick. I don't get a chance to meet many players. I don't have the chance to do that because when I'm there and around, they're working or because they're playing or whatever, and I don't have the opportunity all the time. But who I have been able to meet are brothers, sisters, moms, dads, high school coaches, just people that know these people on a deeper level than them just being a guy out on the field. And that is what makes me, where it, that that's what puts me where I feel like I'm rooting for a guy different than just what they're doing on the field. You know what I'm saying? Because now I know he's a good person, or I know that it took this. Like my favorite story to tell is Tim Lopes is a great story,
I love
where I
Tim
met
Lopes.
his. Yeah, he was great. And his story, though, where it took him a while to get to the league, it took him a minute to do it, and he was grinding. And when he got called up, I had the pleasure of doing the first jersey he ever put on in the major leagues, which is great. But it was also exciting for me because it was the first time that I did that. So he was like the first dude that I did the jersey he put on that was hanging up in his locker, him. And it was Ryan Court. They were at the same time. And
Yep.
I'll never forget it because they were the first two guys that I sewed their jersey that their dream came true in. And I was awesome because you get the chance to meet their whole family. And I never met Tim Lopes, but I met his wife and his parents and his in-laws. And I told them my story and they were like, "Oh, you're from Buffalo?" And I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "Oh, Timmy played in Buffalo." So I gave them a zero to have him sign it, and he signed it to my best bud from Buffalo. So that was pretty cool for me to do that. But I would say, well, Julio's my guy. You know that I talk about him all the time. So I
Yep,
met him.
J-Rod.
That's my guy. And I'll tell you what, I can go on for days about how excited I am for this dude to get into the league. But I was actually randomly at the team store when they were doing something in the winter time in 2019, and he was in the store.
What was this during the Enchant, I think, right? This was when they had like all the prospects over.
Yes, and they were all
Yeah.
wearing a hoodie that said the same thing, and I don't remember what it said. Own the zone, maybe it said, or something like that.
Dominate the zone.
Dominate the zone. It was something like that. Exactly. Okay, so
Yeah.
I walk in, and I was with a friend of mine, and we were just walking in there to go see what was up, and there's this big dude standing at the counter, and the team store manager is like, "Oh, this is." So I got introduced myself. I'm like, "What's up, dude?" And he's like, "Hey, good to meet you, blah, blah." And I say to him, I go, "Hey, man, here's my Instagram. If you ever need anything, you let me know." And he like kind of giggled or whatever. And then the two people working at the store were like, "Well, no, this might be the guy that's doing your jersey when you get called up." So that was how me and Julio first started chatting. And then I've stayed in touch with him ever since then. And at the end, this could be one of my crowning achievements in my life one day, potentially. He was at the stadium at the end of last season, and I think he was accepting some kind of award or something. And he hit me up and was like, "Yo, I'm in this suite. If you got time, whatever, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Oh, dude, yeah, I'll definitely come up there." And I go up there and we're chatting a little bit. Now, I'm pretty sure it's public knowledge now, but every picture, every jersey, everything leading up to that point was he was wearing 85, the first jersey that I did for him in their like promo pictures. And everybody was kind of up in the air about what number he was going to wear, because even in the minors, he was bouncing around numbers. The whole time he knew he was going to be 44. The whole time I knew he was going to be 44. But at the end of last season, I said to him, we took a picture and I go, "Should we hold up fours?" Because he told me that he spoke to his agent, whatever, blah, blah, I'm going to get 44. And I'm like, "We should hold up the fours. So it's 44, me and you." So I post the picture. I tag J Rod Show, hashtag J Rod Show, hashtag 44. And like a few days later, he changed his Instagram handle to J Rod 44 or J Rod Show 44, whatever it is. And that could be one of the coolest things ever if one day this dude is what I think he could be. You know what I mean? That we had like an inside thing, me and him, like, "Oh, we're gonna get 44, like we're gonna do it, like whatever." And then he's, and if he steps on the field in 44, it's gonna be awesome for me. But
Julio's really a great guy, and you and I both know him. He's really, really big on trust. So I
no,
remember down
absolutely.
in Everett this year, we were like, "What number are you gonna wear?" And he was like, "I'm gonna wear 44. I don't like any single digit numbers mixing me look like puny or something." And we just kind of both laughed and we're like, "Emma and I, that's my girlfriend." And we just kind of laughed and we're like, he's gonna wear number 44. And I think it's cool because if you look at the history of the number 44 in baseball as a whole, Hank Aaron and all that, but he's just
Absolutely,
wearing it
dude.
because he likes it. So
It's a good looking number. I know one thing. I'm not looking forward to how long his name is because I'm going to be doing a lot of those this year.
I
It's going to be
know a
exciting
lot.
though, dude. I got to make sure I don't misspell it because Rodriguez is one of those where you'll miss an I and an E somewhere and it'll be bad. But I got to tell you, who I've met obviously has been great, but who I was introduced to that changed everything for me personally is when the day that I got brought into the clubhouse to meet Ichiro, because they all knew that was my guy. They all knew that that was who made me a Mariners fan and whatever. And that kind of thing doesn't happen to me. That's only happened once in the 4 seasons that I've been with the Mariners, where they were like, you know what, let's bring this guy down here, whatever. And I actually ended up meeting him out on the field because he was running around, and I learned how to introduce myself in Japanese when I was 16 years old, in case I ever got a chance to meet him. So I practiced it and ran it by his interpreter, and he's like, he's gonna love that. And we're out in the field, and the interpreter dude comes up to me and goes, all right, are you ready? And I was like, what? And then as soon as I looked back, he's like, he appeared like a superhero. He was just standing there next to me. My hero, childhood hero. Love baseball, love the Mariners because of this dude. I tried to throw like him. I tried to hit like him. I used only Mizuno stuff when I was playing baseball. Everything I could do to be like Ichiro when I was a kid, I did. And I introduced myself, Konnichiwa, Watashiwa Podu. And I told him that I've been practicing that for, at that point, 11 years in a row, in case I ever got a chance. And he laughed, and we took a picture, and then he sprinted out to right field just like a superhero, dude. It was incredible. So that's the biggest one. But obviously, Big League Don too, and that was another great classic story. That his jersey, when he got called back up this season, didn't fit him right. And me, to be funny, so the way a sewing machine works is the bottom thread comes up and locks with the top thread. So normally, what you do is you match the thread to the bobbin thread, so they're matched, so that if it comes through, it's not a different color. So to be funny, I had to do the Sunday jersey and his home jersey. So I left the royal thread in the bottom, and I put the teal thread in the top. And so half of the one on the back of his jersey was sewn in royal blue thread. And I messaged him, and I was like, dude, just when you get your jersey, I was trying to be funny, whatever. So obviously, he didn't see that. Kid goes out there, blasts a home run. His first career home run wearing the jersey. And he hits me back as soon as he gets off the field. He's like, dude, the only thing that I changed was my jersey. The only thing that I did different, and I just hit my first career home run. He's like, it had to be. And I'm like, dude, this is crazy. So he actually asked the clubhouse dudes to bring him up to like say hello. So I actually met him that way, where he was like, let me come up there and like shake your hand and see who you are. Cause I had been chatting with his mom every time. And anytime I post anything about him, his mom is like, obviously his biggest fan. And it was just cool to finally meet him after as much. And then obviously I linked with him again in Tacoma at one point. I got a Big League Don chant started in Tacoma. It was nuts. So I'm a big Donnie Walton guy, big time.
He's one of those stories too, I feel like in a year or two, we'll look back at and we'll go, he was really underrated, because I feel like he was so highly touted in the minors. The second people come up, you just kind of forget that.
Yeah.
He's one of those stories that we'll look back at and really think he still has a chance to really be good at this level.
And I think just from what I've been told about what he is to a clubhouse too, he's a guy you want to have around because he's a firecracker kind of guy. That's like, all right, let's get going. Let's play. Let's do our thing. And I look at him and I think like, could he be like a Brad Miller kind of Chris Taylor kind of guy one day? And it's possible. Guys just need to get at bats, bro. You know that just as good as I do. That yep. Guys just got to get a chance. And as soon as they get a shot, and I believe he's one of those guys.
Hitting 300 or whatever he did, 290 plus for multiple seasons, almost his whole minor league career. That ain't a fluke.
It's not at all. And he comes up, and when he did come up, and it's like he's instantly just out there doing his thing. So I think the problem is, and it's a good problem to have, that we might not we don't got a ton of room right now for guys. So that's the exciting part too, is that we have a guy that we're talking this highly of that's like a guy that might not even be on the team to start the season, which is a great thing, which means the minor league system is finally where we want it to be.
Exactly. So other than Julio, while we're on the topic of minor leagues, who's somebody in the minor leagues right now that you're looking forward to or have had discussions with?
Well, I think that when I met Julio, I'm pretty sure he was with it's Noelvi is how you pronounce it, right?
Yeah, Noelvi Marquez.
Okay, so I'm pretty positive that he was with him, and they both started following me at the same time. So I think I've I think I've chatted with him a few times. I can't exactly remember if me and him have talked more than once, but I'm looking forward to these pitchers more than anything. Kirby and Hancock. I mean, dude, it's one of those things where, like, and I couldn't get to ever to see either one. Who I'm trying to think.
Are you thinking of Williamson?
I'm trying to think of who it was that I was like, there was a guy that I was like super hyped about. I might be thinking of Matt Brash, to be honest with you, because I knew that it wasn't somebody that I saw play, but I knew it was somebody whose numbers I looked at. Because at the end of the year, so when it comes to like Arkansas and it comes to like the outside of Tacoma and Everett, because those games that you can get, you know, just as well as I do, you can get there and you can see these guys and they're more familiar that way. But I don't really notice some names until they come across my desk. And yeah, Matt Brash is one of those people last season where I was like, who is this guy? And I don't remember if he got into a game or not last year, but I know I did. I know I did his jerseys. I know that for sure.
At the MLB level, I don't think he got into a game, no.
I don't think he did either. But I know that he was in the bullpen, though, at the end of the year. I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, he was just kind of riding the bullpen and just kind of experiencing the ride, I think that was all. Because he never got into a game. I know I had so many players slide up and they're like, we want to see Matt Brash, like all the minor leaguers who had their seasons over, but he never got put in. No.
Oh, that's, see, it's hard for me to remember some stuff because it's so much going on.
It was a long season. Yeah, the reason you're thinking Matt Brash is he had that combined no-hitter in Arkansas.
Yeah, that might be it, but I know that Kirby I was looking forward to too. And I don't remember, was he in Everett last year or was he lower than that?
Yeah. In Everett last year, we had a stacked rotation. We started off with Matt Brash. We had Isaiah Campbell, George Kirby, Levi Stout, Brandon Williamson. Williamson is a big one.
I better see. Let me write this down.
He's going to be a big one.
All right, then let's go. I'm going to take your word for it.
Yeah, we should. It's going to be interesting to see how it works next year with all the arms that we got.
It's a lot of arms for sure. I'm just curious about what the opening day team is going to be. I was playing around with some lineups yesterday, actually, trying to kill time. And I mean, these guys are, I mean, we got it. I mean, this team on paper is crazy. But 90 games, and then you add the go and add the AL Cy Young, and we still haven't. And again, I can't divulge too much into things, but I was told by someone that we're still have moves that are going to be made immediately once things are figured out. So
I guess you could say it might be, we might want to open that book later.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be a discussion that me and you can have, and it'll be a wink, wink kind of thing when it happens.
Yeah, yeah. Can't go too much into it.
No.
Yeah, I think I tweeted something, like just kind of teasing, saying that there may be something going on. And the whole Twitter community went after me. Twitter is a ruthless place.
See, I don't even bother with Twitter, dude. I mean, there's no point. It's really not.
Yeah, I went,
but
I went
on.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I went on Twitter. I'm like, I think we might have something happening before the lockout or after. And then nothing happened. And next thing you knew, I woke up one morning. I'm like, why do I have 30 notifications? Like, everybody's going after me. I'm like, you know, Twitter isn't my game. That's why I'll stick with Instagram.
Well, I know that me and you already talked about this kind of, so I could be vague, I guess. With the information I was told, two of the three things I was told have already happened. And that being acquiring Adam Frazier and going to get a really great starting pitcher.
Now we just wait until when Manfred and Co.
Yeah,
I don't think we should get too much into the lockout because I don't know what you can or can't say since you're kind of under. Oh, really?
No. I don't work for the Mariners. That's what I was trying to tell you before. I don't technically work for the Mariners. I work for STT Sports Lettering, and they're contracted by the Mariners.
Okay, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on the lockout.
I mean, dude, the lockout sucks. That's really it. That's the only way I can put it. I mean, The thing that sucks the most, and again, it goes back to what I was saying about developing a culture and excitement, and for us to end the season the way we did last year, and then to get going in free agency, making trades, blah, 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 and then get robbed of an entire offseason, it just sucks, dude. It sucks. And it sucks because these guys don't make enough money for them to just be like, all right, well, if it makes you guys, if it makes you players happier, then let's figure it out immediately. And it's just one of those things. I'm hoping that it's a PR move. The whole thing is a PR move, I'm hoping. And I hope that Saturday afternoon, everything gets figured out and we blow the roof off of the Super Bowl. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but there was something. I saw Evan Drellick tweet this. He's kind of like the go-to guy right now with the lockout. He's saying that the MLB is arguing for minor leaguers to stay unpaid during spring training.
Which is, I mean, dude, and it's one of those things where that makes sense to a very small level, a little bit. But if you're expecting as an owner for these guys to put asses in seats and to be good enough to play baseball at a major league level, they have to get paid so they could like survive. You know what I mean? It's more about like they can't dedicate their entire life to something if they have to go get a job too. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's not fair and it's stupid, but I don't know. Then you get into the part where it's like, well, if these guys start getting paid, what about the guys 35 years ago that didn't, that still made it? And I don't know. What are you going to do about that?
Yeah. Well, there was actually an interesting thing that happened in Everett this past season. I don't know if you heard about housing and everything.
I haven't heard much about housing. I never even thought about it until the lockout. So I'm very not up on that.
Okay. So this was actually before the lockout. But it was during the regular season for Everett. They had to have guys living in hotels and paying for hotels because the team couldn't pay for it. They weren't willing to pay the organization. So guys that were like on a lower level, guys that aren't Julio Rodriguez or Noel DiMarte, were having to pay for apartments or living in college campuses and having to pay out of their own pocket. So eventually, I think they had one or two families come out in Everett and offer their homes for free.
Yeah, that's something that I would do for sure too. I mean, dude, it's unacceptable, I think. And it should be a very easy fix. And then the universal DH thing that they already announced, like, I don't know how, I mean, I feel like it takes a little bit away from the strategy of baseball. But at the end of the day, even with like them potentially having like a automated strike zone, I mean, dude, you go into a game as a manager, and part of the strategy and the difficulty of baseball is Scott Service, we'll say, for example. We know that in the umpiring crew today, Angel Hernandez is behind the plate. So now you have to call the game differently because you know the guy sucks. And it kind of like, it adds to it. It adds to the strategy. It adds to the excitement. It adds to the, I mean, who doesn't love a good manager, like umpire, like scuffle too? You know what I mean? And all of a sudden you can't argue balls and strikes anymore because it's automated. That takes away a whole part of the game. It's like if hockey completely did away with fighting. It's like part of it. Whether it's barbaric or not, or outdated or not, it's part of it.
Exactly. And that's something I've seen players split on because it all really kind of depends on your own experience. It's kind of like you think of the coin toss in the NFL.
Oh, you don't want to get me going on that.
Oh, yeah, because you're a Bills fan.
Don't get me going on the coin toss thing, dude. Are you kidding me?
But yeah, because you saw in that game, the Chiefs, their fans were fine with it. But the next week happens to them, they aren't fine with it.
Well, don't forget, the Chiefs fans have never been fine with it because they were the team that put into the NFL when they lost to the Patriots that same way a couple of years ago. They said, this is bullshit. We can't do this. Like, we can't do this. And then all of a sudden they were cool with it. But not to get completely off of baseball, but I really, truly feel like as a sports lover, we got absolutely robbed at the end of that game because just not even just the Bills. I mean, as a sports fan, that it should have been both teams able to get the ball. But you saw the following week, all you got to do is play defense, and that doesn't happen. So I won't get too excited about that because I'll go on for days. But I do want to touch on the automated strike zone thing. because I could think of an example right off the top of my head that I could maybe change my view on it, is how the Giants season ended last year.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. It all kind of depends on what your experience with that system is.
Yeah.
It can be good or it can be bad. Like, if you're the pitcher, you throw a strike right down the middle and it gets called for a ball, of course you're going to want the automated system.
Yeah.
But then again, if you're a hitter and a ball, you know, it just all kind of depends. So yeah, keep on going with what you were saying with the Giants.
Well, I just think that for the Giants to have the season they had last year and to lose the series, I mean, of course, anybody can argue you don't lose a series on one play or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But for it to be blatantly not a swing, I mean, I don't know how you fix that. That's the kind of stuff that needs to be fixed.
Exactly. Yeah, cause that the whole MLB community was in shambles.
Yeah, that was not a swing. And again, now you have replay. Why can't you go to the replay and see that that wasn't a swing and carry on the game? I mean, again, robbed of great potential great sports moments because guys don't get it right. But guys have not been getting it right forever. And again, that's part of sports, I guess.
As much as it sucks. And one day, unfortunately, it may happen to us in the postseason. Hopefully it doesn't. But the way it works in baseball, it kind of happens to everyone.
I'm ready to just be in the postseason, dude, at this point. I'm ready.
I think we all are. We're just ready for the Yankees fans to just shut their mouths, no longer have that 20-year excuse, even though they'll probably still use it.
For sure, because even last year, if we would have snuck in, I don't want to disparage too many guys, because at the end of the day, I work in this, but I was a fan first. So there are guys that I don't have faith in as a fan that have nothing to do with anything besides the fact of, like, who are we going to give the ball to if we had a one-game playoff last year that you would have felt confident in that we could win the game? And the answer is nobody in my head. I mean, there's nobody that was taking the ball last year in the start of game that was going to be lights out. I mean, we don't have a Max Scherzer. We don't have a Madison Bumgarner. And I think that's really important that you have a guy like Randy Johnson. You know what I mean? That is terrifying.
Yeah.
That you know that you can rest everything on. I hate to say it. We had him forever. 15 years we had a guy like that. And nothing came of it.
That final
Felix Hernandez, of course.
That final game angered a lot of people because you start the one guy. When you have Matt Brash in the bullpen and you have other dudes who are ready to go, because I remember there's a lot of discussion about people willing to go on like 1 day's rest or 2 days rest. And then we put the option that we put out there. It went just exactly how you thought it'd go.
Yeah. And it's always, it sucks because it's always goes exactly how we think it would go. And if I'm going to be real though, it was the Royals series that did us in last year, I think.
Yep.
That's the team we got to just bury into the ground, and we didn't. And there's your games right there. We wouldn't even have had to be in that situation. We would already been, our ticket would have been punched at that point.
It's really unfortunate because there's so many series that we should have won, but we didn't. And it's hard to really blame the players who kind of put us in that position because the moves, game calling in some of those games weren't so great. Like, you can look back to the Colorado series. I feel like we could have won both Colorado series in Seattle and in Colorado. That's another one of those series to me.
Absolutely. There was a lot of situations like that last season, I think. You're all right. Just, come on. Get out there and do your thing, you know? And, you know, any given day, though, dude, you know that.
Yep. I have a semi-lighthearted one, getting on a happier tone. If you could bring back one past Mariner in their prime to the current roster, who would they be and why?
Felix Hernandez.
I love that.
And why is because he's Felix Hernandez. That's why. That's really the reason. And I was literally just talking to somebody the other day. You know, it would be a baller-ass move to go grab him right now. Just go grab him. He's not going to be Felix Hernandez of 2010 again, but he's going to be a guy that is somebody that I don't want to say deserves, but like, if we're going to punch the ticket, dude, that's the guy. I mean, and Seager too is another guy that I wish we could have just I don't know. But I would say Felix or Nemes for sure, because I know one thing, you're gonna pull out your starter and you're gonna have Felix Hernandez coming to the game in the sixth inning, and he's not throwing super hard anymore, but I'm telling you, his stuff still is gonna dance, and that's a guy that you're gonna be afraid to hit against, I think.
So that's crowd reception would be electric.
Oh, I'm telling you, the roof would be eliminated from the stadium completely because it would be blown off.
It's really a shame when you look at how he was treated and all that by management and all that stuff. It's a shame. And there's other players out there who are worse than him just floating around.
They got a plan, dude, and they're sticking to it. And again, I don't want to get too into like things that are different, but stuff changes in sports and stuff changes in life, and you just got to be ready for it. But there are a few things like that where it just sucks that you can't come, just like the lockout. It just sucks when you can't come to a, like, I hated the Kendall Graveman trade, dude. I hated it.
Yep. We all did at first.
And then all of a sudden, we're all mad. Like, this is our guy, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, Toro comes in and he's, like, really good. And it's like, well, wait a minute. So that's one of those things where you get proven wrong more than you don't get proven wrong.
Yeah,
when it comes to guys making decisions like that.
It's unfortunate when you look at the Felix situation. I think we all know as fans, he was one of those pitchers who was kind of resistant to changing to like the new age stuff. He wasn't really in on the pitching software and all that, and he just wanted to stick with his old ways, and baseball caught up with him.
Exactly, and that's what sucks, because baseball's going in a different direction where you're going to lose guys' dedication, because they're going to be asked to do more of like, well, the computer says this, then instead of just going out there and playing with heart and trusting your catcher is going to make the right call. And that's another thing. At times, like, get weird.
I would like to think we have a happy, healthy balance in Seattle, because I think from what I've heard, we kind of, well, baseball as a whole is drifting towards analytics, but we kind of do half and half. So it's kind of like analytics, but you also do the right scouting, you do proper scouting, and you tweak it based on real-time game analysis. So that's the way that baseball should be.
I would think that that's what will end up happening. But I mean, a really good example of that for me is with hockey. And I haven't been a super big hockey fan for a while. I'm a Sabres guy coming up, obviously. Dominik Hasek was my first favorite athlete. But now guys, because of analytics, are pulling their goalie with like 2+ minutes left in the game. And that was a really shocking thing for me, not being paying attention to hockey for a while, the guys do that. Because when I was paying attention to hockey, they would do that with a minute left if they were down by one, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, a couple of Kraken games this year, they've taken their goalie out with like 3 minutes left in the game. And it's like, well, the numbers show one thing, but if you just give up a goal right away, the game's over, instead of just trusting those guys to go out there and do what they got to do. So I think that there's a lot of pros and cons both ways on analytics. And again, I'm not a numbers guy. I'm not a guy that's crunching those kind of things. So maybe I'm not the right dude to really speculate on that, but and I don't want to be like a back in my day kind of guy, but I kind of am a back in my day kind of guy. Throw the ball. I still wish that he had to throw 4 pitches for an intentional walk.
The types of things that would happen back when you would do that, a wild pitch for the game winner or something like that. Dude, I would love that.
I remember it was either, who was it? Was it Vlad Guerrero who hit a home run off of an intentional walk pitch? Like, I could be misremembering that, but like you're also taking away. Again, that's 4 pitches that the pitcher has to make. That could be the difference between them going another inning. You know what I mean? If their arms shot. So I don't know about that, but
we'll just see how it goes as it plays out. But as you've seen with like the Rays, well, I don't know if you remember. I think everybody remembers this. Remember when Blake Snell was pulled in the middle of a playoff game?
Oh, yeah. I just watched that game the other day. Yep.
Yeah, that caused a lot of controversy, and I think that was one of the reasons he actually left Tampa in the first place.
So you remember a thing like Blake Snell, right? Because it went bad. But what about a couple of years prior to that with Steven Strasburg when they were doing things like that? And then he was, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, he was able to go longer in 2019 because maybe his arm was just a little bit better off. I mean, who knows? It's the difference. Any pitch could change anything anytime. And that's what makes baseball great. So who knows if Strasburg didn't throw those extra 100 pitches 5 years ago, if it even mattered in 2019. But the fact that the dude was a horse in 2019, it might play into that being a positive, as annoying as it is in the moment.
And we can all turn this back to Felix Hernandez. He would pitch his heart out. 100 pitch game after 100 pitch game. And now we see where he is. It's unfortunate. But, yeah.
That sucks. A lot.
I just want to see him get a ring somehow. As a coach, somehow.
It would have been great if he was still a part of the Braves team last year.
Yeah, he deserves his ring, or he definitely deserves the 34 retired. I don't think he'll be a Hall of Famer. If he pitched one or two more seasons, he'd definitely be a Hall of Famer.
He's close to the numbers that they would be looking for the last I checked, where he was looking for, what, 200 wins, and does he have 3,000 strikeouts?
I'm not sure. I know he falls just short on so many marks, which is unfortunate, because if he played one or two more seasons or stayed healthy during that final season, he would have hit those marks easily.
Yeah, and I also think that had he got the Cy Young in 2015, was that the year we got Rob?
I believe so, to Corey Kluber and all that.
I don't remember exactly which year it was. So then you go into that with his two Cy Youngs, and then say they scored more than one run every once in a while when he pitched, he might have 30 more wins. Who knows?
Yep. That's another thing. A lot of fans who kind of join late, they don't remember how many games he would pitch, and he would just get no run support at all.
Disgusting. It's disgusting. Even look at his perfect game, dude. They scored one run.
I don't think that Tampa team was any good either.
Dude, go look at that roster. That team was not good, and they scored one run.
It's insane.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things I've seen, and I couldn't tell you the exact numbers, but the amount of games that he, what do they call it, a quality start into the seventh inning that he lost or no decision, it's disgusting to look at it.
And what really sucked is during that final season, he had those games. Like, I think he had a really good game against the Yankees once. And then the next game, he would just, like, completely fall apart after the fourth inning.
Yeah. And that's the thing that blows, is because, like, and then he just kept getting hurt, too, which is another thing where it's like, you can't plan for that. You just hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah. And he's only, it's sad looking at his age, because then you just think Verlander and all that stuff. If only the team would have done him better.
Yeah.
Man. Sure. This is definitely kind of like a what if story.
Oh,
you don't
for
really
sure.
know.
It'll always be. Especially it was 2016, right? Where we were one game out.
Yep.
Or was that 2015? I get those 2 years confused, but I remember going into the last game of the season, all we had to do was win and Oakland loses. And Felix went out there and did what he does, and the Athletics won in the middle of our game. And it's just like, we were that close. And that was a team that was really good, dude. That was a team that I would have felt comfortable going to the playoffs with.
It was. And I think that was actually – that was 2016, I think. And I think that was Jerry's first year on the job, because he was, like, tasked to basically try to make a last-ditch attempt to make the playoffs with that current roster.
Yeah.
But yeah. It sucks. Looking back, there's so many sad moments.
Yeah, dude. Being a Mariners fan is tough.
I'm sure you've watched the Dorktown Mariners, right?
I have.
Yeah, that really just tells a story. If you're a fan out there and you haven't, you got to watch that.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the cooler things. Those guys really, I mean, as long as it was too, I feel like there was probably more stuff that they could have put in that they left out, but that was really great. I mean, all the way down to a guy burning down the stadium, dude. Like, it's just crazy to think, like, but that's why I'm very superstitious about the pitchfork logo.
Yeah,
I
nobody
believe
likes
it's bad
that.
luck. It's bad
Nobody
luck.
likes a trident.
Definitely bad luck.
If the Mariners are out there, they gotta kind of do like a jersey rebrand or something. Oh, I actually have one more question about jerseys.
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
One
Let's
more.
Talk about that. Go ahead. I'll talk about that all day.
Are you looking forward to the new Nike City Connect jerseys?
Am I looking forward to it not knowing anything? Yes. Am I looking forward to it after what I was told? No.
Interesting. So do you know, do you have like kind of have an idea how it's going to look?
Well, you know who my source is.
Yep.
And I won't divulge that, but my source told me, and as you know who that is, it's kind of pretty obvious it's going to happen.
Reliable.
Yeah, very reliable. Very reliable. I was told that it's going to be the old colors and the pitchfork is what I was told.
Really?
I hope that that's not true. I also hope that, I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't feel like those colors are Mariners colors, but I feel like I might not be in the
minority.
I think I'm in the minority believing that the Mariners colors are not what they are, because people love the Sunday jersey. People love the spring training jersey. I can't stand either one of them, to be honest with you. I mean, the Sunday one's the best to sew because there's no name. But I don't like how it looks. I think that the prime years of the Mariners are teal, gray, super dark blue, and white. That's what I think. I think that they should keep those colors around. But I briefly, and again, because of coronavirus, I feel like everything kind of got messed up. Where I was told at one point they were eliminating the Navy jersey, which I don't know if that's going to happen, but.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's because I know fans are, well, at least for me, I don't know if you've seen this. Well, of course you have. You work on those. You know the Sounders, the Jimi Hendrix kit, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I was hoping the Mariners would do something like that. So that's kind of the idea behind City Connect jersey. You kind of pick something from the city and you put it on the jersey. So going back to old school, that does nothing. That's just kind of like a throwback jersey. So I don't think people are going to be too happy with that.
I just hope that it's not exactly what – I hope that the question I asked was just misheard. Mm-hmm. That's all I can do is hope that the way I worded it, maybe it wasn't what he thought it was, maybe, or something. That's all I'm hoping is that maybe that's something we're going to wear, but that's not that one. The Giants one was awesome, and the Cubs one was awesome. The White Sox one, I mean, they were all great.
Yeah, Diamondbacks. People didn't really like it at first, but once the players put them on, it looked really nice.
Yeah, they have all been cool so far, and I can't think of one offhand. Maybe the Red Sox one was kind of lame, a little bit.
That it looked like they're, I don't even know how to describe it, just like yellow. I mean, I guess. Yeah,
that's what the Boston Marathon thing is. So I guess for them, it's probably really cool. But just outside looking in, like, I don't know how I feel about those colors together specifically.
Yeah. I'm just hoping, like you said, maybe it's just like a special event night, kind of like how they did the Seattle Steelheads and all that. I really like the Steelheads jersey.
Steelheads jersey is great. That was another thing I discussed with said
source.
That's hopefully something that will be intertwined into the Mariners now forever.
Yeah.
And I really hope that it is.
I would love those instead of the Sunday alternates.
Yeah, dude. And even the hat, and it's really funny too, because like during the year I try to wear a different hat to every game. And I just don't, those colors, I just don't.
It's just not really my scream Mariners.
It's just not my cup of tea. Yeah, to me, it doesn't scream Mariners at all.
I feel that. I just really hope somehow, some way, they kind of change it up and things grow on you. I'll put it that way.
Oh, for
we
sure.
Might not like it right now, but they'll grow on you. Like, I don't think anybody really was in love with the teal or whatever, the powder blues. That's what they call it, powder blue spring training jersey. I didn't like it at first. I thought it looked hideous. But after a few springs, it really grew on me. So I kind of like it now.
Every time I look at it, I'm looking at one right now. Every time I look at it, I don't, because my girl's got just, you know, she's got to be decked out and everything. So I got the Donnie Walton call up female jersey right here. And it's one of those things, dude, where again, I look at it and this is not Mariners colors to me. Like, this doesn't say Mariners to me. But again, I'm first probably got in them, the minority.
Yeah, when we first got them, I thought they looked like scrubs. I'm like, why are we wearing scrubs?
Yeah, dude. Not cool. But again, they don't really, and I feel like it's not one that a lot of people seek out too. So I feel like mm-hmm. that's another thing. Right? But
yeah, you go into the team store and you look at all like the player jerseys that they got on the rack. Those are all still there.
Yeah. It's not much of a not much of a good jersey, I don't think. But there's again, some people love it and that's it.
Yeah, that's why there's so many different jerseys. If you had to bring back one jersey, what would you bring back just from the history of the team that you can think of?
Oh,
I know one that the fans question. Love right now.
Go ahead. Tell me that one.
Have you seen like the kind of like the black ones?
Okay. So that was exactly what I was going to say. So okay. They call that Astro Blue. And I have a fun inside story on what that exact idea behind that was. They were trying to match the color of the hat.
Huh, that does make sense.
And they couldn't get the right color. So you go back in time, I'm pretty sure they wore a navy jersey in 97. And they wore a version of it in 2001. And they wore another version of it in 2004. And the super dark one was in 2004. And that was similar to the lettering that it has now. But it was super, super dark where it almost looks black because they wanted it to match the hat and it just never matched the hat. So they kind of just gave up on doing that. But that's one of my favorite ones for sure.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think any of the fans I don't think any fan knows that story.
Yeah, I work for the guy who's been doing everything for them for so long. I have a few of those things in my like holster because I ask a lot of questions why was this color? And that's where that story, the story of it came from. But my boss, Jerry, he actually designed the lettering for the current Navy jersey. So he like actually said, here's what it should look like. And that's what they did.
Huh?
Yeah. Super cool.
That's the jersey I've seen a lot of people petition to Kevin Martinez on Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. And Kmart, he's a great guy. I have, maybe one day me and you will talk about it privately, but there's an idea that got put across Kmart's desk that he actually loved that came out of my mouth that he brought to said player who has a huge history with us, who may or may not have his own logo that they did not think of. Wow, that would be really cool to have said player's logo on our jersey, kind of like how another sport has a really important player's logo on certain jerseys, if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
And apparently they didn't even consider it when they, at any point, that when we do get new jerseys to do something like that. Really? So, yeah, so that could be something that happens too.
That's going to be really neat because I think anybody who kind of has the idea of Mariners history and knows a little bit about side endeavors of past players knows who you're talking about.
Yeah, I would think so too. And again, we're only speaking to Mariners fans when we talk about things like that.
Yep.
But if I would
be a really, really interesting idea.
Yeah, it is, dude. And they loved it a lot, actually. But to answer your question of what jersey specifically would I bring back, I would definitely bring back a form of a sleeveless one.
Oh yeah, that was a big one. D. Gordon rocked it.
So not, yeah, well, he sure did, but not that one specifically. I just mean kind of like just one of the jerseys they wear to be sleeveless.
Mm-hmm.
So not the turn ahead of the clock per se, even if it was just a road jersey. Just the gray one, just being a sleeveless one, I think that would be really cool. And again, to pay respects to the history of the team as well, because that was one guy's idea, and that's why they did it.
I think I'm trying to think of the best kind of current example that a team has done. I think the Diamondbacks and the Reds have kind of done something similar to what you're saying. It's almost like a tank top of sorts.
Yeah, and the Rockies wear one like that too.
Yeah. I think the Rockies are who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and it looks cool, and I'm sure it's more comfortable for guys to wear, and for sure it's more comfortable to throw in too. So, I mean, there's a reason that Griffey wanted to do it in the first place.
Those jerseys would do very, very well in Seattle, especially think of Julio Rodriguez, Kelnick, all this. Yeah. It would do really well.
Absolutely. So that's my vote for one that gets brought back.
Let's see. And I guess the final question, what's one message you have for fans heading into the new season?
Oh, stay excited. Come support these guys for sure. If you're going to get a jersey, do not get it from a website that has .net in it. I'll say that too. Come get it done correctly. But I think the overall message is just stay excited. These guys are cool, and I absolutely love that now our leader is J.P. Crawford. I have the utmost respect for this dude, and I'm very excited for him to be the guy that's going to be running out into the field and being our leader, because that's the kind of guy you want to have in that position. And as much, and I'll tell you right now, Jerry DePoto, I was a hater for a long time, big time hater. And this guy has done it. He's done something. Everything he said he was going to do, where you're going to build up and all that, he's done. And it's almost impossible to not be excited. But if you aren't somebody who's into baseball, get into it. It's time, because right now is the time to hop on.
Seattle is a baseball city.
It really is. And the city of Seattle proved that at the end of last season. Absolutely. Everybody rallied around. I mean, being from Buffalo, I look at certain Seattle fans as fair weather fans. But because I've been to Bills games, dude, where there's a foot of snow on your seat when you go to sit down. And we're out of the playoffs since week five. And the stadium's still sold out, and Seahawks fans do not feel the same way, I don't think. But I'm going to say it's a long season, so get in while you can, for sure. Come as often as possible. Stay excited, because these guys are knocking on the door, and I think.
The lockout has done a bad job at helping baseball promote itself. But, yeah, you really got to come out. 2022. There's so much to watch. Kirby, Hancock, Julio, of course.
Yeah. Man. It's gonna be great, dude. I'm really excited to see if Kalnick can be Kalnick.
Yeah. Dude. I'm excited to watch the bounce backs too.
Yeah, it's gonna be great, dude.
Well, very excited. That's it.
Oh man, what a pleasure. And I'm a big fan of yours, by the way. Keep up all the great work that you're doing.
Likewise, seriously. Likewise.
Because like I said, you get, even from talking to me, you hear that I kind of don't have a full grasp on like all the minor league dudes and all the numbers and stuff. And that's why I love looking at your page, dude, because you're right all on top of the shit all the time. And I love that. So
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing all the jerseys that you have a part in making, part in stitching, part in fixing up.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited because that's what I'm looking forward to as much as possible, is to just be a part of it in any way that I can. But even if I don't do another player's jersey ever again, there is no better feeling in the world to me personally than handing somebody a brand new jersey and their face when they put it on, dude. It's the best feeling in the world. It really is. Cause I know how much it's meant to me to have that brand new jersey. Just take the tags off of it, your favorite players on the back of it, dude. And you just want to get out there and wear it proudly, and dude, I've had people cry, I've had people call their parents, I've had taken countless pictures of people just so excited about having it. So that's, if I never did a player jersey again and it was only fans, I would be perfectly okay with that, because it's as much fun 4,000 jerseys into it as it was the second time for me.
I love it. You do a great job with what you do.
I try, man. As you can hear, it's because I'm a fan. That's the number one thing. I'm a fan. It's not because I needed a job. It's because I'm a fan and wanted to be a part of it any way I could.
I love that. I love that. And I think that's something that you see a lot with fans in the city now. Everybody's just trying to do their part, build a name for themselves, and just live the dream. And I think if anything can be learned from this interview, you just chased your dream, you put hard work in, and you listened to others, and it helped you get to where you are.
Absolutely, dude. And if anything can be taken from what you just said, it's that if you have an idea and you want it bad enough, you will get it if you try hard enough. And that goes to even these guys that we love watching. If you want it hard enough, my boy Big League Don, I told him you're gonna love this. We were chatting about after the game. It might have been either before the game or after the game where I got the Big League Don chant started in Tacoma. And he said, "Well, if I get called back up, we'll have to get together or whatever." And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean if?" I was like, "Don't tell me if ever again. It's not if, it's when. So if you want it bad enough, it's not if, it's when."
I love that. That's so true because you can't just give up on something that you've worked
Nah,
so
man.
hard to get up to. You just have to
That's
keep
right.
fighting for it, even if it just doesn't look like it's a reality anymore. Something can always happen.
Absolutely, dude. Anything's possible. Kevin Garnett taught us that.
Amen. 2022 is going to be a good one.
I
I'm
can't
really
wait,
looking
dude.
forward to it.
I'm looking. I'm already. I hate to say it, but I'm already looking to 2023.
I know. Oh shoot, we
All-Star
didn't even
game's gonna
talk
be
about the
great.
All-Star
So, yeah,
game.
dude. Yeah,
Let's touch
dude.
on it. What are you looking
Yeah,
forward to
go
for the
ahead.
All-Star game?
Oh, dude. Every single part of it, I'm looking forward to. Again, because of what I do specifically, I just am through the roof excited about the. I mean, dude, because we're in Seattle, there's a lot of. I would say a lot of Asian fans because of our. So that has been another really amazing thing for me too, to be able to just different people from all over the world, dude. And I've befriended a couple of these guys. A guy when he the one year, what year was it? It must have been 18. Ichiro's last game was 19, right? So it must have been 18. Dude came all the way from Japan. And he was wearing, I don't know what they call those things they tie around their head. What is that? Like a karate thing. It's like
Not a
a
bandana.
ribbon almost, but it's big enough that they that it says something on it and you can read what it says. So this dude came over. I forgot his name. We've emailed back and forth a couple times.
That's really
This dude
cool.
comes up to me and he's just big Ichiro guy, whatever, blah blah, and he has all these things that say it says ML, I'm looking at it right now. MLB hits 3,089 and world record hits 4,367 hits. And it's just like a Ichiro headband, and he gifted one of them to me. So I say all that to say this. The most exciting thing for me about the All-Star game is that the entire baseball world is going to descend on to Safeco. And we're going to be able to put together jerseys for everybody all over the place, whether it's somebody from Iowa or somebody from Germany or because an All-Star game, you're going to be getting more attention than just a regular Dodgers Mariners game. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm most excited about. And I'm
Well, on top of
excited that the
that,
reservation, the not the the renovations they're doing at the stadium as well, getting ready for that.
I didn't even know they were doing renovations.
Yeah, so I just did the in-laws were in town, and I just did a tour not that long ago. They're building a new suite level underneath the press box called the 24 Club, and
I love that.
they're redoing both clubhouses, or at least the visiting one, and then Pyramid Brewing across the street there, they're turning into a whole thing. So there's just all kinds of things that are happening, and it's just going to keep happening leading up to it. So I'm not. Of course, I'm excited about the 2022 season, but I'm very excited about 23.
Well, I think another event that you'll really like that's coming to Seattle is obviously the what's not it's basically the Futures game. So they have like the best of the best for like all different
So
parts of the minor leagues.
that'll be the same weekend, all right?
Yeah, I think that would be. I think the way it works is Friday
It's
is the
Friday, right?
Futures game. Yeah, and
Home
then
Run Derby
Saturday
Saturday.
is Home Run Derby, and then Sunday is the actual game.
I mean, dude, just to be a home run derby. I mean, just to
I
be
know.
I've wanted to go to an All-Star game my whole life, really. And I almost went the year it was in Cleveland, and I almost went the year it was in D.C. because those were close to me being in Buffalo. But, I mean, obviously, dude, not everybody's got $600 or $700 to throw in a ticket. You know what I mean? So hopefully, hopefully people get a chance to get in the building, because I know that's been a problem with the Kraken this year, because they haven't been able to develop a culture yet because people just can't afford to go.
Yeah.
It's too much.
It's going to be a crazy environment. I'm sure you've obviously worked the games with the Blue Jays and Vladdy's in town when Ohtani's in town. Yeah, we were in the crowd for both those games trying to get like autographs because we love getting autographs.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Really is.
They're passionate.
Absolutely. So, that's how it should be, dude.
Yeah. Especially you just kind of see how the different culture is just so much more passionate than the normal baseball fan who's just like kind of sitting there on their phone. And it's so noticeable. You look at one corner and you look at the other.
Yeah, dude. And I think that it says a lot about the difference now that there's a net all the way down and there's more people that are not passionate than there are people who are, which is not a bad thing. But I know one thing, if you're sitting in the third row at Safeco, you can't see. That's annoying. To me personally, but what are you going to do?
I just really hope we continue building that culture here because it is those final three games, October 1st, October 2nd, October 3rd. That was passionate. Those were like real OG fans who've been here through the beginning. Sure, there are a few who weren't like, you know, but it was
so those
it brought together
have
all the best.
Too. Those people have voices too. So that's all that matters, dude. As long as it gets loud in there. I mean, dude, I can tell you right now, I can tell you exactly what I was doing when Dylan Moore hit that home run against the Astros, dude. I could tell you exactly what I was doing because I'm very superstitious. So what if things aren't going right or something needs to change, I'll get up from my seat and I'll just wander. And I remember telling the guys in the autograph area above the team store, I said, I'm going to walk out here with the bases loaded. And I was like, we'll see what happens. And I literally was just getting past the sausage stand on the concourse at 144, dude, when he blasted it. So I'm telling you right now, I heard how loud that stadium can get, and I'm excited to hear it for at least half the season this year.
October 2nd will be one of those games that just really sticks with me. That was my birthday, so I actually went out there because Julio messaged me a while back, and he's like, I'm going to be out in Seattle on October 2nd. What are you doing? So I'm like, that's my birthday. I don't have tickets for that game. So I went to that game. Next thing you know, I think Mitch Haniger had four RBIs. It was moment after moment after moment. It just kept on going. Next thing you know, we're heading into game 162 with a chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, dude. And how exciting is it just to feel that way? You think other fan bases, it's just another day for a Red Sox fan or it's another day for a Dodger fan. But to be a Mariners fan and even have that situation happening after how many years where it's just not – we're out of it by May every year, you know, and to be October 2nd and a buzz like that, dude. I mean, and again, that's what sucks the most about this lockout is we got like halted on the excitement, I think.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's no spring training.
Yeah.
Man, I just really hope they get their shit together.
Yeah, they're going to figure it out, bro. I got faith.
I hope so too. Let's see what happens tomorrow. That's like the big day. Everybody thinks something big is going to happen. So we'll see. The Griffey effect, might you say.
I hope so, dude. I really hope that – I just hope that it's like a PR move this whole time and they're going to take over the Super Bowl weekend. I just really hope that's what happens, dude.
Me too. It doesn't seem like it, but we can hope. It doesn't matter if it was or wasn't, as long as they get it done before.
Yeah. As long as we're playing baseball on March 31st, I don't care when it happens.
Yep, I'm really looking forward to that. Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray, dude. I listen. There's a lot of guys that have come here where you're like, oh, Robinson Cano. Oh, Eric Bedard. And they get here and it's not the same.
Yeah,
I hope Robbie
Sean
Ray
Figgins.
Not, yeah, dude, exactly. Adrian Beltre. I can go for days with you if you want. I mean, Griffey left here because of the stadium, you know? So I just hope that Robbie Ray comes in and he is Robbie Ray of last year and better, I hope. Because then all of a sudden, the team that won 90 games last year adds a Cy Young caliber pitcher, and then everybody's rotation spot bumps down one more, and the bullpen keeps it up, dude. All of a sudden, you're really just that much better. I mean, dude, they won 90 games last year without a number one starter.
And you know what's funny? Writers out there still think we're underdogs. So we have a lot to prove still.
Good.
I know.
We're underdogs. I want to be an underdog. I love that. That's what's important. And I'll tell you what, that's the kind of thing that'll get a guy like JP or K. Lou. They'll see that and be like, word, let's go. Let's go. I'm getting fired up. Now I'm getting fired up. I want to be an underdog because it just makes you try harder.
Agreed. And that's the thing. People are writing Kyle Lewis off. They're writing Evan White off. They're writing Donnie Walton off. So
I'll fist fight anybody that writes off Big League Don. So you send them my way. They got a problem with my boy.
I can't wait.
On Evan White, though. I can't wait. Dude. Ty France is really good, dude. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate because I really... We go back to quickly talking about who a player is. Evan White is one of those guys. I still remember seeing him. There was a tweet out there. Ryan Divers tweeted it like a few spring trainings back. Some kid like dropped a handful of baseball cards. Evan White was the only player who stayed back to help him like pick it all up.
Yeah, see, that's what you can't root against the guy.
Yeah.
When he's a good guy, you could root against a guy like Robinson Cano all day long.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Alex Rodriguez.
Well, exactly. Well, I'm a big fan of him as an analyst, though. I will say that.
Yeah.
And I'll be a way bigger fan of him if the Timberwolves become the Seattle Supersonics. But what I'll say about Evan White is that's a situation where you have to take, and that was kind of goes against what I was saying earlier, but I think that's a situation for me personally where you got to put the guy that is the better guy at the position, regardless of if they're nice or the money situation specifically. I mean, I don't know how you go around that. But again, that's why you go to spring training and you battle out for your position. If you're better than Ty France, get out there and do it and show everybody that you're better than him.
Exactly. And that's what's unfortunate, once again, about the stupid lockout.
Yeah, dude, because we're literally missing out on all of these like speculations because these guys can't even go practice.
Exactly. And it's a shame because even if he isn't like winning a spot on the team, that's trade value. That could be your number two guy in the rotation.
Exactly, dude. Literally. Because he's young enough to go get a guy. I know, bro. I know. I'm getting excited, though.
I know. It. Even if we don't get that Major League Baseball, we're still, I think, I saw 57, 56 days away from Minor League Baseball, so...
Yeah, I'm gonna be in Tacoma more. I'm gonna be in Tacoma more than I should be this year. I know that for sure.
Yep, it'll be Everett as much as possible for me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, dude, stay on me about getting to more Aqua Sox games this year. By the way, I only went to like two last season, and that's like unacceptable because again, you're missing out on these guys when they're trying their absolute hardest by not seeing them. And we have not everybody has that opportunity to see to watch their favorite teams that low level. At ease. So hold me accountable on that, bro.
I will. If you want to go, I highly recommend, assuming even if the Mariners start on time, you got to go out to the first homestand for Everett. They have like the top players in baseball right now. The Giants affiliate.
I was out there for opening day last year. So that's been on my list every year.
Yep,
to make sure I'm at least over there for them.
Because you're going to see Marco Luciano, you're going to see Hunter Bishop, who's a top prospect, brother of Braden Bishop, former Mariner.
Yep.
So great, it's going to be good.
Great barber, from what I'm told.
Yeah, he's everywhere. Same with Devin Sweet. If you want to follow a prospect, Devin Sweet's one of those.
All right. Well, perfect.
But anyways, really looking forward to the new season. You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, dude. I'm
at least the recording portion.
Yeah. I'm going to say that if you're going to ever get a jersey, get one that is good. And if you ever want to get one that's good, contact me. My Instagram is StitchGod716. And wear it proud when you do. And I don't think Rodriguez is going to fit on smaller jerseys, so please don't ask me, but I will try for you if you need me to. No, we got to curve it at that point. We'll put a nice little arch on and make it fit. But Rodriguez 44, we're going to do a lot of them this year. And I think we're going to do a lot of Donnie Walton jerseys this year, too. But I will say, if you're a sports fan, Mariners are going to be who you want to pay attention to this year. It's going to be exciting. And thank you for having me, dude. For real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really great.
All I got to say is, yeah, I'm going to follow up what Stitch God said. It's going to be a good season, regardless of if you watched the Mariners at all last season or if you didn't, you got to tune in. It's going to be a good season.
Now's the time, for sure.
Go M's.
Go M's, dude.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Okay, let's end this part.
If you like this podcast, you can find Hit It Here Talk on Apple Music or Spotify. We'll be back here next week with a new podcast. Please be sure to share it with a friend or two. Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.